name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Jill Robbins reports on America's low birth rates, and Brian Lynn brings us this week's technology report. Later, we present the next part in our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, the European Union has proposed price controls on Russian gas. The group made the proposal Wednesday after Russian President Vladimir Putin threatened to halt all energy supplies if the EU took such a step. The price dispute raises the possibility of energy rationing in some of the world's richest countries this winter. The rising tensions could cause European gas prices to rise even more. EU governments are planning to spend billions of dollars to support energy providers and to prevent citizens from going without heat this winter. Europe has accused Russia of using energy supplies as a weapon in response to Western sanctions on Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. Russia blames those sanctions for causing the gas supply problem, which it says is a result of damaged pipelines. Putin has said that energy contracts could be canceled if price limits are put in place. He also warned that gas supplies could be frozen. But the EU plans to move ahead with price limits on Russian gas. The EU is also controlling the price of electricity from generators that do not use natural gas. EU energy ministers plan to hold an emergency meeting on Friday. Ursula von der Leyen is the European Commission president. She told reporters, "We will propose a price cap on Russian gas. We must cut Russia's revenues, which Putin uses to finance this atrocious war in Ukraine." Putin said Russia would react to price caps by cutting off supplies. "We will not supply anything at all if it contradicts our interests," Putin said at an economic meeting in eastern Russia. "We will not supply gas, oil, coal, heating oil. We will not supply anything." Europe usually imports about 40% of its gas and 30% of its oil from Russia. There were signs of division among EU members over the plan to control prices. A Czech minister said it should not be discussed during Friday's meeting, saying it would not be helpful. Eurelectric is a group representing the European electricity industry. It criticized plans for a cap of 200 euros per megawatt hour on the price of electricity from generators that do not run on gas. A megawatt hour is a measure of electrical power. Christian Ruby is the Secretary General of Eurelectric. Instead of price limits, he said EU governments should deal with the gas supply shortages and Europe's dependency on fossil fuels. Europe's energy crisis has gotten more severe after an additional supply cut by Russia's state-owned Gazprom. The company fully suspended gas supplied through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to Germany. Gazprom had said it found an engine leak in the pipeline last week.
Many young Americans are not seeking to have children of their own, as birth rates in the United States remain near historically low levels. A group of women who spoke with the Associated Press listed climate change, student debt, and inflation as reasons they do not want to be parents. Some young men said they also do not want to raise children. Some are considering medical operations that prevent fertility. A government report found the U.S. birth rate fell 4% in 2020. That was the largest single-year decrease in nearly 50 years. The government reported a 1% increase in U.S. births last year. But the number of babies born was still lower than before the coronavirus pandemic, about 86,000 fewer than in 2019. Jordan Davidson talked with more than 300 people for a book to be released in December. The book is called So, When Are You Having Kids? She spoke to young people of both the millennial generation and Generation Z. Millennials were born between 1981 and 1996, while Generation Z is just starting to reach adulthood. The pandemic, Davidson said, led many young people to put off having children. Others say they do not want to have children at all. She said many young people are not willing to change their plans or goals for children. She added, people still want to travel. They want to go to graduate school. They want to meet certain financial benchmarks. Davidson said fears about climate change have influenced many to consider the idea of living without children. She said, now with increased wildfires, droughts, heat waves, what is this going to look like during the time that my children are alive? Among those Davidson talked with, concerns over the environment were far more common among the younger group. But financial concerns, she said, troubled both millennials and Generation Z. Davidson said, there is a lot of fear around having children who would be worse off than their parents. At 24, Elle Johnson has decided that she will not have children. But she has not ruled out adoption. The graduate student who works in legal services in Austin, Texas, has a list of reasons for not wanting to have a baby. They include the climate crisis and a genetic health condition. Johnson said, I don't think it's responsible to bring children into this world. She added, there are already kids who need homes. I don't know what kind of world it's going to be in 20, 30, 40 years. I'm Jill Robbins.
Some of China's top research and educational organizations depend on U.S. computing chips that have export restrictions on them, news reports say. U.S.-based chipmaker NVIDIA said last week it had been told by American officials it could no longer export two top computer chips to China, Hong Kong, or Russia. The high-end chips are designed to help power major computer data centers and support artificial intelligence systems. U.S. officials have said the export restrictions are necessary to limit the spread of chip technology that can be used for weapons. The restrictions do not affect NVIDIA's better-known products widely used in video games and automotive technology. NVIDIA said the export ban affects its A100 and H100 chips, which are designed to add more power to machine learning operations. The company's H100 chip is still in development. NVIDIA said in an official financial report that the export restriction could halt progress on the H100 chip. The company said the ban may also require the company to move some of its operations out of China. Another American chipmaker, Advanced Micro Devices, or AMD, has confirmed that it also received an order from the U.S. Department of Commerce to block shipments of some of its high-end chips to China and Russia. AMD, however, said the restrictions were not expected to delay any product development or greatly harm its business operations. China criticized the U.S. export restrictions. It accuses U.S. officials of misusing export controls to limit high-end chip sales to China. A spokesperson for China's Commerce Ministry warned the trade limits would worsen supply chain problems and slow world economic recovery efforts after the COVID-19 pandemic. Computer chips are China's largest import. China's concern about computer chips grew over the last 2 years as work at chip factories slowed because of COVID-19. Reuters news agency recently examined corporate payment data over the past 2 years in an effort to see the level of demand for the restricted chips in China. During the examination, reporters discovered China's Tsinghua University spent over $400,000 last October on two NVIDIA AI supercomputers. Each of the computers is powered by four A100 chips, corporate financial data showed. Tsinghua is one of China's highest-ranked higher education institutions. In the same month, China's Institute of Computing Technology spent about $250,000 on A100 chips. The institute is part of the country's top research group, the Chinese Academy of Sciences, or CAS. And in November, the Cybersecurity College of Guangdong-based Jinan University spent more than $93,000 on an NVIDIA AI supercomputer. In addition, the university's School of Intelligent Systems, Science, and Engineering spent nearly $100,000 just last month on eight A100 chips. Other institutes and universities supported by local and area governments also bought A100 chips, the Reuters report showed. None of the research departments contacted by Reuters answered requests seeking comment on the chip restrictions. NVIDIA also did not answer a request for comment, but it recently said it had reported $400 million in Chinese sales of the affected chips for the three-month period ending in September. The company said much of that business could be lost if its customers decide not to buy other NVIDIA product offerings. I'm Brian Lynn.
We turn now to the making of a nation. Yesterday, we talked about the visits to the New World by Christopher Columbus and other explorers sailing for Spain and Portugal. Today, Steve Ember tells the story of the first permanent English settlements in North America.
England was the first country to compete with Spain for claims in the New World. Queen Elizabeth I supported explorations as early as the 1570s. Sir Humphrey Gilbert led the first English settlement efforts, but he did not establish any lasting settlement. He died as he was returning to England. Gilbert's half-brother, Sir Walter Raleigh, continued his work. Raleigh sent a number of ships to explore the east coast of North America. He named an area of the coast Virginia in honor of Queen Elizabeth, who never married and was known as the Virgin Queen. In 1585, about 100 men settled on Roanoke Island off the coast of the present-day state of North Carolina. These settlers returned to England a year later. Another group went to Roanoke the next year. This group included a number of women and children. But the supply ships that Raleigh sent to the colony failed to arrive. When help got there in 1590, none of the settlers could be found. At least some of the settlers may have become part of the Indian tribe that lived in the area. One reason for the delay in getting supplies to Roanoke was the attack of the Spanish Navy against England in 1588. King Philip of Spain had decided to invade England, but the small English ships, combined with a fierce storm, defeated the huge Spanish fleet. As a result, Spain was no longer able to block English exploration. England discovered that supporting colonies so far away cost a lot of money. So Queen Elizabeth took no more action to do it. Not until after her death in 1603 did England begin serious efforts to start colonies in America. In 1606, the new English king, James I, gave two business groups permission to establish colonies in Virginia, the area claimed by England. Companies were organized to carry out the move. The London Company sent 100 settlers to Virginia in 1606. The group landed there in May 1607 and founded Jamestown. It was the first permanent English colony in the New World. The colony seemed about to fail from the start. The settlers did not plant their crops in time, so they soon had no food. Their leaders lacked the farming and building skills needed to survive on the land. More than half the settlers died during the first winter. The businessmen controlling the colony from London knew nothing about living in such a wild place. They wanted the settlers to search for gold and explore local rivers in hopes of finding a way to the east. One settler knew this was wrong. His name was Captain John Smith. He helped the colonists build houses and grow food by learning from the local Indians. Still, the Jamestown settlers continued to die each year from disease, starvation, and Indian attacks. The London Company sent 6,000 settlers to Virginia between 1606 and 1622. More than 4,000 died during that time. Historians say that all the settlers surely would have died without the help of the local Powhatan Indians. The Indians gave the settlers food. They taught them how to live in the forest. And the Powhatan Indians showed the settlers how to plant new crops and how to clear the land for building. The settlers accepted the Indians' help. Then, however, the settlers took whatever else they wanted by force. In 1622, the local Indians attacked the settlers for interfering with Indian land. 340 settlers died. The colonists answered the attack by destroying the native tribes living along Virginia's coast. The settlers recognized that they would have to grow their own food and survive on their own without help from England or anyone else. The Jamestown colony was clearly established by 1624. It was even beginning to earn money by growing and selling a new crop, tobacco. The other early English settlements in North America were much to the north, in what is today the state of Massachusetts. The people who settled there left England for reasons different than those who settled in Jamestown. The Virginia settlers were looking for ways to earn money for English businesses. The settlers in Massachusetts were seeking religious freedom. King Henry VIII of England had separated from the Roman Catholic Church. His daughter, Queen Elizabeth, established the Protestant faith in England. It was called the Church of England or the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church, however, was similar to the Roman Catholic Church. Not all Protestants liked this idea. Some wanted to leave the Anglican Church and form religious groups of their own. In 1606, members of one group in the town of Scrooby did separate from the Anglican Church. About 125 people left England for Holland. They found problems there too, so they decided to move again to the New World. These people were called pilgrims. Pilgrims are people who travel for religious reasons. About 35 pilgrims were among the 102 passengers and crew on a ship called the Mayflower in 1620. The Mayflower set sail from England, headed for Virginia. But the ship never reached Virginia. It was blown far off its planned course. Instead, it reached land far to the north on Cape Cod Bay. The group decided to stay there instead of trying to find Jamestown far to the south in Virginia. They settled what would become the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They called the colony Plymouth, naming it after the harbor in England from which they departed on their voyage to the New World. The pilgrims and the others aboard the Mayflower believed they were not under English control since they did not land in Virginia. They saw the need for rules that would help them live together peacefully. They wrote a plan of government, which they called the Mayflower Compact. It was the first such plan ever developed in the New World. They elected William Bradford as the first governor of the Plymouth Colony. We know about the first 30 years of the colony, as William Bradford described it in his book of Plymouth Plantation. It is also sometimes referred to as William Bradford's Journal. It actually tells the story of the Pilgrims from 1608, when they settled in the Netherlands through the Mayflower voyage until the year 1647. It ends with a list, written in 1650, of Mayflower passengers and what happened to them. As happened in Jamestown, about half the settlers in Plymouth died during the first winter. The survivors were surprised to find an Indian who spoke English. His name was Squanto. He had been kidnapped by an English sea captain and had lived in England before returning to his people. The Pilgrims believed God had sent them Squanto. He made it possible for them to communicate with the native people. He showed them the best places to fish, what kind of crops to plant, and how to grow them. He provided them with all kinds of information they needed to survive. The settlers invited the Indians to a feast in the month of November to celebrate their successes and to thank Squanto for his help. Americans remember this feast when they celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving Day in November. Other English settlers began arriving in the area now called New England. One large group was the Puritans. Like the Pilgrims, the Puritans disagreed with the Anglican Church. But they did not want to leave the Church. The Puritans wanted to change it, to make it more holy in their view. Their desire for this change made them unwelcome in England. The first ship carrying Puritans left England for America in 1630. By the end of that summer, 1,000 Puritans had landed in the Northeast. Charles, the new English king, had given permission for them to settle in the Massachusetts Bay area. The Puritans began leaving England in large groups. Between 1630 and 1640, 20,000 sailed for New England. They risked their lives on the dangerous trip. They wanted to live among people who believed as they did. The Puritans and other Europeans, however, found a very different people already living in the New World. They were the Native Americans, or Indians, as Columbus called them, after thinking he had reached the East.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.